2 months, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, lewdness, etc., which they have been practicing. And so here is a description of what we're trying to get across and talk about this morning. And then we have the church in Philippi. The church in Philippi, the Apostle Paul described in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul's in prison at the time, and he's writing this letter back to the church in Philippi to encourage them. And he's had a pleasant experience with these people. He's impressed with the way they've grown and developed and that type of activity. And so he says, beginning with verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. He is happy they are where they are. He is glad that. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me in grace. Paul is really proud of these brethren here in the city of Corinth. There is a time when high maintenance can help. And we will look at some of that right now, just as it is for a physical baby. All of us who have had families, all of us recognize that when an infant is born into the family, that child is high maintenance. And he's going to be, or she's going to be, high maintenance for a few years. We understand that. But we don't understand that to be on and on and on and on, you know. Our kids are 47 and 43, and they are not, you know, they're not depending on we and me anymore. They're not high maintenance as far as we're concerned. And so, but if they were, then that would be a problem if they were as high maintenance as they were when they were infant. And so, being an infant, a new babe in Christ, that is expected. High maintenance is essential for a new Christian. Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. Notice what the writer to the Hebrew brethren had to say in chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. He said, of whom we have much to say, talking about Melchizedek, hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Now what's the problem with these people? These people, the writer is writing to them to jumpstart them, so to speak. They haven't been growing, they haven't been developing as they needed to grow and develop. And so the Hebrew writer is writing to them to rebuke them, to jumpstart them, because they thus far have been dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, these people had been Christians long enough. We're not talking about new babes in Christ. We're talking about people that's been Christian for a while. They've been Christian, Paul would judge, that they have been Christians long enough that they ought to be teaching other people. They ought to know something about Christianity, enough about it, that they could teach others. And so he goes on to say, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have become the need of milk and not solid food. And so, that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about high maintenance can help. New Christians will probably be very susceptible to the working of Satan. A person becomes a convert, a person obeys the gospel, and Satan is not just going to turn his back and say, whoop, I lost that one, and just go on looking for somebody else. He's going to come back at that one. He's going to try to win that one back to him. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is meeting with the Ephesian elders. And he's talking to them because, as far as they know at that point, this is going to be the last time that they're going to see each other. And so, down to verse 28 and going through verse 31, Luke, as he does the recording, he says, therefore take heed to yourselves, Paul speaking, and to all the flock among the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that for the space of 3 years, I did not cease to warn you every night and day with tears. And so Paul is warning these people. Make sure that new Christians are growing. Make sure they're getting fed. Those kinds of things. But as we said a while ago, this is not to last a whole lifetime. Now then, let's turn over to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7, notice what the Apostle Peter says as he is writing to these people that is scattered throughout the area of Cappadocia and Bithynia and that area of the world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Their faith had been tested. It had been tested. They were Christians, or new Christians once, and now then, they have passed the test. High maintenance is essential for hurting Christians. Not only new Christians, but Christians when they are hurting. Christians when they are vulnerable in other areas of life. At this time, they are susceptible to Satan. And Satan will camp at their door and try every tactic that he has in order to draw them away. Also, in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica in chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly and comfort the faint-hearted, those that are having difficulty, those that are down, those that are having problems. Comfort them. Help them in this time. Back to the letter that Peter wrote to those Christians the first time in chapter 3 and verses 14 through verse 17. Let's back up and get verse 13 with that. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats and are troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone that asks you a reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear, having good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if the will of God be so, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And so hard times are going to come. Difficulties will arise. When is it that high maintenance can hurt? That really, really hurts us, at ourself as well as the church. And so let's notice some events then. When it hinders the growth of the church. When high maintenance hinders the growth of the church. It bites into, it takes up time that other things should be done. We're not talking about helping a new Christian. We're talking about those that should have, as the Hebrew writer said, they should have grown on past that point. And they should be helping others rather than waiting for somebody to help them. They should be taking up the torch and carrying it on. The church grows through evangelism. Three ways, and we'll notice them very briefly, how the church grows. And we're talking about the local church as well as the universal church. The local church / universal church also grows through evangelism. Turn with me, if you would, to the Great Commission that Jesus gave his disciples or apostles in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Jesus, doing the speaking, he said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be damned or will be condemned. And so we understand that the church grows through the proclamation of the gospel, the teaching of the gospel. That's one of the ways in which it grows, because numbers are added there too. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 9 through 12, back to the Hebrew letter, the Hebrew writer is encouraging these people to go ahead and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 9, going through verse 12 of chapter 5, and having been perfected, he became the author, talking of Christ, author of eternal salvation to all that would obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become, again, dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the gospel of Christ. The church grows through evangelism. Now then, if those that are preaching the word and teaching the word, those that are laboring to spread the gospel, if it's taken their time to keep others on track who should be helping preach the word, then those are high maintenance people, and they ought to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another way in which the church grows, and that is through edification, working with people. But if this high maintenance person is continually needing somebody to prod him or her along, keeping them on track, then that's high maintenance an individual. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through verse 16, notice what Paul says as he writes to the brethren there in the city of Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, talking of Christ, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, that we should no longer be children. That's the key idea that we're working on right now. Don't stay children always, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. For from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. The church grows through edification, encouraging, building up, and then that one builds others up. But everything moving forward and not stymieing, and it just stays right there, having to deal with the same cases over and over and over again. Another way in which the church grows, and that is through benevolence. Over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. Chapter 3 and verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? We help those that are truly needy. But if here is a person, and that person is just, he's just continually needing help. Continually needing help. We're talking about benevolence now. Well then, that's a high maintenance situation. Over in 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, as the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18, Paul says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Now then,
Here are the ways that we, those of us who are not high maintenance, here's what we're to do. Willing to share, ready to grow on, and then move on. I may be in a high maintenance person when I obeyed the gospel. I may have been high maintenance a little more after that. But when I learn, then I move forward and I pick up my end of the load and I help others. I don't stay there always. And we can do that by examining ourselves. Where am I? I don't have to ask somebody where I am. I can know where I am by reading God's Word and looking at my life and what goes on in my mind. I can know where I am. When those needing high maintenance is neglected because I demand attention. You know, there may be those that are rightly, there may be those new Christians. There may be those individuals that truly are having a difficult time for no reason of their own. And they're needing some help. But here I am, I'm just dilly-dallying along, and I'm not too excited about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm taking up time that belongs to these people that will help them grow and develop. How is it that high maintenance can be defeated? How can we defeat high maintenance? Defeating high maintenance is an individual responsibility. And I've already suggested this two or three times during the course of our lesson. But the first thing that needs to be done, I need to sit down and I need to be truthful with myself. Why am I not growing? Why do I have the problems that I have? Why? I know why I'm having the problems I have. I may not want to admit it, but I'll guarantee you I know it. No man knows the mind of a man save the spirit of man that's in him. I can know that. If I say, I don't know it, then I would have to question my credibility. So it's individual. It's an individual responsibility. I am convinced. How much do I help myself? What am I doing to get better myself? What am I doing? How much contribution am I making? Notice what Paul said over in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Paul said, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Now that he's not telling these Roman Christians how somebody else can renew their mind. He's telling them how to renew their mind. And the way that he wants them to not be conformed to the ways of the world is by renewing their own mind. Make up their mind. They know where they are. They know what they think. They know what they're thinking. They know what their mindset is. And so he wants them to renew their mind by God's Word. They need to study God's Word. How much time do I spend with God's Word? If I am continually needing help, how much time do I spend with God's Word? If I am continually flip-flopping back and forth, how much time do I spend with God's Word? I have to ask myself that. If I'm wanting to get on track, turn with you, if you would, to Matthew 4 and verse 4. Jesus doing the speaking. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I do not live by what proceeds from within my own thought. I will not grow, I will not develop, I will not become Christ-like as long as I go to my mind for what I should do. I'm going to have to go to God's Word, and I'm going to have to read it, I'm going to have to listen to it, I'm going to have to believe it, and I'm going to have to practice it, mean do it. Not just acquire knowledge, but do it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Over to the Gospel of John. In John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verses 37 through verse 39, Jesus is speaking to these people, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. Now I know he's talking to a bunch of rebellious Jews at this time. But you know what? I can be just as rebellious as these Jews were. I can read God's word and I can rebel against it. I can read God's word, yes, but. I can read God's word, but I think. And I can just walk away from it and not listen to it. And so to defeat, I'm going to have to study God's word and I'm going to have to listen to God's word. You search the scriptures, he told them, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify me. They searched the Old Testament scriptures. They thought they had everlasting life there. The scriptures testified of Christ. He came and they didn't believe him. We got to study God's word. And then we got to learn to depend on God. We've got to learn to trust him. Do I believe that God will help me, will take care of me? Let's look at a couple of Psalms. Over in Psalms 27. Notice what the psalmist said in Psalms 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I believe that. Can I say that with the confidence that the psalmist said it? Now then, turn over to Psalm 28, verses 7 and 8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. And I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Put the word of God to practice in life. To put it to practice. You know, acquisition of knowledge is not the goal within itself. Acquisition of knowledge just tells me what I need to get doing. Now then, I need to process that in my mind and make myself think accordingly. Train myself to think as God's word says I'm to think. Put my trust in what God's word says I'm to put my trust in. In Philippians chapter 1. In verse 27, as the Apostle Paul is writing to these Christians, he said, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Is my conduct worthy of the gospel of Christ? Is that the thing that's guiding me in every facet of my life? In the relationship that I have with you brethren, the relationship that I have with my wife, the relationship that I have with my children, with my neighbors, is God's word that which is guiding that? And God's word addresses every one of those relationships. Am I going to do that? He goes on to say, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the hope of the gospel. Some closing remarks about high maintenance. Reach the point when we rely on God. That's what we have to do. We have to reach that point where we rely, we depend on God. Not on somebody else, but relying upon the Father. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Question, do I trust in God with all my heart? Well, for the most, no, all of it. He said all of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I tell you what, brethren, that may not be as easy done as you heard it was. I want to lean on my understanding. No, God wants me to lean on Him. Humbly submit myself unto Him. In verse 8 or verse 6 of that same chapter, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Lots of assurance there. That the wise man said, the individual is responsible to examine himself. I've already said that three or four times through the course of our lesson this morning. But over in 2 Corinthians, as the Apostle Paul begins to bring that letter to a close in verse 5, he says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. How do I know whether I'm in the faith? Well, I hope so. No. How do you know it? Can you know it? Paul says these people could know it. Emphatically, yes. I can know. I can know. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you're disqualified? If the brethren are not there to help me, am I excused before the Lord? Think about that. If I want to set back, well, I would do this if. I would do this if. I would do something else if. What's the Lord going to tell me in the day of judgment? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Just because somebody didn't do what they ought to have done does not justify me. I can read, not real good, but I can understand. And then I have to make application of that into my life. That's our lesson for this morning. I hope it will be thought-provoking. I hope it will be stimulating as we continue to live our life as members of the body of Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ, then we're going to talk to you just in a very few sentences. One must come to Jesus. Over in Matthew chapter 11. Notice what Jesus says in chapter 11 and verses 25 through verse 30. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and that you have hidden these things from these wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it has seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom He has the Son will reveals. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're here and you've never rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ, that's what you've got to do. Well, but don't you think? No, I think just what He said. If I want rest, eternal rest, that's what I've got to do. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. When one comes to Jesus, he must come on His terms. Not on my terms, not on somebody else's terms, but on the terms of Jesus. In Matthew 18 and verse 3, Jesus told those people, except you're converted, you cannot see the kingdom of God. In John 8 and verse 24, one must believe. Believe that Jesus is deity. He is the very Son of God. That's what I have to believe. If I'm not willing to believe that, then I can't have salvation. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32, except one confesses me, he cannot see the kingdom of God. One must confess Jesus as deity if he wants to be saved from sin. And one must repent. Resolve. Make up his mind. He's going to let Jesus Christ direct his life. That's what repentance is. Going in that direction. And you need to be going in this direction. And you turn. Remember the illustration that... already forgot the preacher's name. But anyway. It's a reverse. It's a turning around and coming back. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, one must be baptized for the remission of sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If you're here this morning and subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing the song that has been selected.